Good to be home. I really praise and thank the Lord for your faithfulness in serving God. So we do in Davao. There's always a good news. The work in Davao is going on actively and prosperously by the grace of God. My visit is medical visit. And one thing sure, I'm going to visit the founding pastor of this church who is sick, Pastor Mel Sabaka. Pray for him. I know you love him. I love him too. And if you have a note for him, I'll be going there Saturday. So don't forget, he is our founding pastor. We become what we are because of his love, his work, his labor for this church. So bear in mind, we owe a lot of gratitude to him. So praise the Lord, we are here. And I'll see you later. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Passes away, and for some reason he keeps calling me. And you bear the brunt of that joke this morning, because this is what you got this morning, me. Amen. Is anybody sitting here this morning that does not have a Bible? Please raise your hand. We'll get a Bible to you, quickly. Don't sit here this morning without a Bible. I'll be honest with you. I stand back there on Sunday mornings and I watch some of you people sitting here without a Bible. Or you sit here and your Bible's closed. Listen, how do you know I might not tell you a lie this morning? If you're sitting here, please, have a Bible and open it. And I promise you, I've been rebuked by my family and my brethren. I'm going to let you turn to the Scriptures this morning. Amen? I'm going to give you a verse, and I'm going to wait. It's hard, but because I want to get it all in, but I'm going to let you turn to the Scriptures this morning, because you need to see God's Word this morning. Amen? And that's what God promised to bless, His Word. We're going to be turning to Acts chapter 13. I'm getting old. I had to wear my glasses this morning because when I have my contacts in, I can no longer see the small print of my Bible. But I can't part with this Bible. It's a part of me. You know, isn't it weird when you have a brand new Bible? It's like it's a different book. It's foreign. You're not familiar with it, you know? And this thing is falling apart and what have you, but it's mine. And I can't let it go. Acts chapter 13. So I'll be doing a lot of switching and stuff because I can't read this even with my glasses this morning. So don't pay attention to this and that. Pay attention to God's Word this morning, please. All right, before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I come before you humbly this morning, Lord. I ask, Father, that you take these stammering lips, Lord, and I pray you'd set me aside and hide me behind the cross this morning, Father. And Lord, I just pray you might breathe life into the words that will be spoken this morning, Father. I pray that you'd be here, Lord. And that you be pleased to meet with your people, Lord. And I pray this morning in my feeble attempt that Jesus Christ would be lifted up, Lord, that all men, women, and children in this building would be drawn unto him. For him alone is worthy this morning of all praise, honor, and glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what? It's a miracle. I'm happy this morning. I wanted to preach at 6 o'clock this morning. I wanted to get it over with. I'm ready to go. And it's tough sitting there, and I like singing, but I'm raring to go. And I'm not, listen, I'm not on caffeine this morning. It's natural. But you know what? When I woke up this morning, I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? When I went to bed saved. And God kept me through the night. Amen? Isn't that a blessing this morning? Well, I see you're really excited about that. Acts chapter 13 is Paul's first missions trip. How appropriate. We have our first missionary that we've sent from this church here this morning. It's a blessing to see you, Brother Manny. My brother Eddie blessed me this morning in the prayer room. You know what? It can be intimidating speaking before people. But you know what? You guys are my brothers and sisters. We're family this morning. And I feel comfortable because I have boldness in God's spirit to speak this morning. Amen? Man, I remember this brother JR when the first time he walked through that door. How many years has it been, brother? I remember my brother Danny before he even had any kids. Amen? Newly married man. God is good. Our children are growing up. Some have gone on and married and have children. Some of you are grandparents. It's a blessing. It's all good. I got the gray hair, you know. I mean, hey, it's all good in him. Amen. Acts chapter 13 is the account of Paul's first missions trip. And notice the pattern here in verse 1. You know, we didn't send Brother Manny around the United States of America when he was going to become a missionary of our church to gather money and stuff. No, that's not the Bible way. The Bible is that, and he didn't just, you know, draw straws out of the hat one day at a deacon's meeting and was the unlucky soul that God did. No. The Spirit of God put it on our brother's heart to go back to his country and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here you see in verse 1 that they're gathered here. And now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger and Lucius and Cyrene. And I'm butchering these guys' names. I'm glad they're not here to hear it. And Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. In verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's the Bible way. Men were moved by the Spirit of God, and they were sent by the Spirit of God to be missionaries. It's not a vocation. You don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to be a missionary somewhere. And the worst thing to do is go on the mission field and come back, and you're still filled with emotions because your eye does affect your heart. But you're going to need to let that thing settle in and pray. And if the Lord wants you to be out there, he'll put it on your heart to be out there. And then we have a responsibility here to support you. Amen? Well, my message this morning isn't on missions. It's on something totally unrelated. I just wanted to share that. I want to drop down to verse 14 in this leg of Paul's trip here. He says, but when they departed from Perga, they came unto Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. You know, Paul did not need an invitation to preach the gospel. But they say, hey, you got anything you want to share with us this morning? Why don't you speak? Oh, that was it, man. They didn't know what they were getting ready for, right? And I love the next verse. Watch it. Can't you see it? Paul stood up. Here we go. And beckoning with his hands, he's getting animated now, right? Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Verse 17, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. Verse 18, and about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And 19, that's a nice verse, 18. For 40 years he suffered he their manners. How long has God been suffering with your manners as you've been saved, huh? Woo, spoke to me. I'm preaching to me this morning. This is the conversation that occurred when I read this chapter, I don't know, a month or two ago. You know, we just had this thing going back and forth. I appreciate Brother Jack that was here last week, you know, when he talked about being in the bathroom, his wife knocking on the door, what's going on in there? He says, I'm just getting things right. He says, well, hurry up and get right and get out. But you know, we need to do that. We need to, every day, I mean, you might think I'm crazy. If you see me on the highway, you'll see me talking. I'm talking things out between me and God. And on a bad day, it's a minute-by-minute conversation. But it's needful for me, you know. And look at here, it says in 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, right? Doesn't this sound very familiar? It's almost like an indictment. What is Paul doing? He's giving his people a little history lesson. And it's ironic that back in this same book, in Acts chapter 7, Paul was present when there was another history lesson going on, was being taught by a different teacher that day. His name was Stephen. Remember that? And remember how that turned out. That those students in that class, they weren't liking what they were hearing, were they? And if the bursar's office was open that day, they would have went down and dropped that course. But you know what? It was close. You know what they did? They dropped the teacher. They killed him. Right? And here's the irony that God has Paul doing the same thing here in this chapter. He's giving them a little history lesson. But don't despair, because it's not an indictment. Seemingly it is. These are going to be words of encouragement. Watch and see. By the way, if you read this chapter here and he's giving this history lesson, you know, everybody, not everybody, she said, you know, the Bible, sometimes there are seeming contradictions. If you add up the years that are being accounted here, they differ from the account in the Old Testament. And you know what, though? Let me tell you something. Whenever you read your Bible and there's seemingly a contradiction, give God's word the benefit of the doubt. There is no contradiction. And my message this morning isn't on that. You can, in Judges, you'll find the missing years, if you will. God's word is always true, even when you don't understand it. That's the point I'm making this morning, all right? And let's drop down. It says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. I love that. So listen, whosoever. The message that we share is for whosoever. It's for everybody, is it not? There's no discrimination with this. Look down at verse here. It says 27. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. What a crowd he's talking about back then. You know, they didn't know God. They did not know him because they had had a lack of hearing. Every Saturday at the same place, the same words were being read by the prophet. But you know what? It's like that verse in the scripture that tells us, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This crowd, it didn't matter. They just were hell-bent and fixed. Their ears were stopped. They did not want to know the truth, okay? This is the crowd that Paul is speaking about, not speaking to, okay? Look at verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. It wasn't about right and wrong. It wasn't about justice. It was about getting their pound of flesh. That's what it was about, right? Because there was no cause of death in Christ. They lied, did they not? They made it up. Look at verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. Listen, you know, these people weren't interested in fulfilling God's will or plan. But isn't it neat? You know what? We need to remind ourselves today that no matter what administration is voted into office, okay, whether you agree with the policies of the land or not, whether you like the way the guy dresses or the color of his skin, it's irrelevant. You know why? Because despite that, no matter what, come what may, God's plans will still be fulfilled. Amen? That's what that verse tells me. Despite these fools that rejected the prophets, God still had a plan, and it still came to fruition. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Woo! Are you happy you're saved this morning? The Word of God is all we got, people. And it's all we need. All we need. Somebody just said it, I believe. Pat, that was a great message, Brother Pat Wednesday. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, he said it. You know, people come through here and you're waiting for them to expound some really deep stuff on you. And I think he was talking about Brother Kincaid, who just kept saying, read your Bible. Read your Bible. And you know what? Yeah, that's what you need to do. Just read your Bible. You read your Bible. You purpose to spend some time with God. You know, to my shame, you know what's great? I was sharing this one, brother. When you get called to preach, man, you got to make sure you're clean. I mean, I was up this morning earlier than normal, you know, and you want to get the thing done because you're afraid just walking from there to the car, you're going to get spiritually dirty again, you know, and you just, well, let me get this done. I'm clean right now, I'm ready to go. And you know what? We should be that way every day. Shame on me. I shouldn't have an appointment to preach to make sure that I'm right before God. I should be making sure that I'm right every day, clean before him, because you know what? I don't know when he's coming, you know, I don't know when. He can come right now, right? So we got to be clean spiritually, amen? I got notes. I got to follow these notes because I want to get this all in, right? Look at, in Genesis, you don't have to turn there. You know, this crowd, they were, without even knowing it, they had evil intentions, but God twisted that thing, turned it around, and he had some good come out of it. It reminds me of Joseph when he told his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Look at verse 30. But God raised them from the dead. Boy, that word but in the Bible is a big word. But God raised him from the dead. You know, we're alive today because someone died for us, you know? And from death came life. Amen? Look at verse 31. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Woo! Listen, Paul wasn't there to discourage these people, to break them down. He says, hey, We declare unto you in verse 32, glad tidings, good news. He was there to give them a cup of cold water, like that verse says, right? As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Paul was giving them some good news from a far country. It was his first missions trip. And this morning, I want to share some good news with you, brothers and sisters, because we're living in a time where we need some good news. We need some good news. Look it down in verse 37. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. 38, watch it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Woo! Be it known unto you. I love that. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. You know, our message is not, it's not a message of, it's not a narrow message, man. You know, we get accused of being narrow-minded people for what we believe. Our message is all-encompassing, right? It's for all folks, all people, right? And I love the way it says there. All that believe are justified from all things. Not some things, all things. All things. One down, eight to go. I'm having too much of a good time up here this morning. You know, usually when I used to get up here, I'd be shaking. You know what? Listen, I gave that stuff to God, you know? We're having a good time in Jesus Christ this morning. If you can't have a good time in Jesus Christ this morning, well, you better check your pulse. Because you were dead walking in. Amen? And if whatever I say this morning offends, or take it up with Pastor. I didn't ask to be here this morning. Listen, if there was ever a time to know something, brother and sisters, we're living in a time that we should know some things. All right? We better know some things. Listen, you better be able to say, and you'll turn to this one in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The words of our brother Paul here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You better know some things, brothers and sisters. Because if you don't, they're going to try to pull the wool over your eyes. What'd I say? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's hope if I turn there. It says in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You believe that verse this morning? Are you persuaded? Do you know who you believe this morning? You better know. You better know. Look at, you know what? God has left you a book that ye may know. That ye may know. Look at 1 John chapter 5. God wants you to know some things this morning, brothers and sisters. Hey, listen, I'm not going to share anything deep, but by way of remembrance, I want to provoke you this morning unto love and good works. I want to provoke you this morning. 1 John chapter 5, because that's why God left us this love letter, that we may know some things. And look it down in verse 13. These things have I what? Written unto you. Why? That believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen? God wants you to know that you're eternally saved and secure no matter what the politics of the day are. No matter what the stock market is doing. No matter how your 401k is looking these days. God wants you to know that you're His. Look down in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You know, I'm sick and tired of people. You know, you talk to people, most people say they know who Jesus is. But you know what? They don't know the Jesus that I know from God's Word. See, the Jesus that I know was God manifested in the flesh. His name was Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. He wasn't a figment of my imagination. He wasn't this benevolent man that just lived a philanthropical life. He was God. God. You hear what I'm saying? You know who my God's name is this morning? His name is Jesus Christ. And the world does not know who Jesus Christ is. They have an idea. You know what? Listen, don't let that kind of nonsense, that leaven, pollute your thought processes. You know, you can ask a guy, I'll never forget, I watched Larry King ask Joel Osteen, how do you get saved? You know, that man would not come out and say you have to believe and trust only in Jesus Christ. He wouldn't say it. You know, and you know what? Sometimes that nonsense creeps into our thought. Never apologize. It's his way or there's no way. He is the only way. I don't apologize for my Savior. Heck, I got brothers that don't talk to me because I simply believe that. I'm a narrow-minded fanatic because I believe that Jesus Christ is God. He's my God. Amen? And I know that. I know that. You know what it says in John 8:32? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Amen. And if the Son of God shall make you free, you know what? You shall be free indeed. I'm free this morning. I've been made free, not set free, made free. I'm not giving you my opinion this morning. I'm giving you God's word. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Turn there. You better know some things, brothers and sisters. Philippians chapter 3. How am I doing? I'm giving you enough time to get there? We're all right? Good. I don't want you guys telling on me. But brother called me up. Man, what speed reading class did you go to? Thank you for the words of encouragement, brother. Thank you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know what? It's not enough that Jesus died. The power is that he rose again. I serve a living God this morning. Every other religion, Buddha, Hindu, whatever, you name it, there's a tomb somewhere. Muhammad, you know? You ain't going to find my Lord anywhere on the face of this earth. He's alive. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. And boy, I need it, man. I need somebody to be up there. I need an advocate. And I've got one. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? That you may know. But can I tell you something this morning? And this isn't blasphemy. Salvation is not enough. You hear what I'm saying? Salvation is not enough. You know, when you got saved, that's when your problem started. Because before you were saved, you were dead spiritually. You went where you wanted to go. You said what you wanted to say. You put into your body what you wanted to put in. And you know what? You slept good at night, didn't you? You had no care about it. You had no troubles. But then what happened? You got saved. And oh, here we go. What happened? That new man was revived, was made alive. And now you're like a schizophrenic. You know that you're a schizophrenic here this morning? I'm being honest with you. I'm the head schizophrenic. And I'm not popping no pills. You know what? I don't need any medication. I need God's word. This is my medicine. This balm of Gilead. But you know what? We're schizos. We really are. We're crazy people. There's a battle raging every day, right? It's nuts, but it's good. Amen? It's good. I'm glad, man. Listen, I'm glad that there's someone in me that's alive, that keeps me on the straight and narrow. You know what I mean? I mean, even as a kid, my mother always told me, listen, when I don't see you, God's watching you. And I believe that, you know? But now I know it because he lives in me. He's with me. I take him everywhere I go. Everywhere. But you know what? Cheer up. Because you know what? John chapter 16. Jesus had some great words. I love this verse. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you. Cheer up. It says in verse John 16, are we there? Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Why? In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My Savior has overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Don't wallow in your circumstances. You know why? Because Jesus said, I've overcome. I've overcome. And through him, I'm an overcomer this morning. You with me? All right, we're moving. We're moving. You know what? They say we're living in historical times, and we are. And some of the history that's being recorded is really not good. financial institutions that have been a bedrock of our society have just, they've dissolved. They're gone. And you know what? It's not bad to look back. But you know what? When you look back in history, don't look back to yearn and lament for times passed by. You know what I'm saying? Don't desire, oh, I wish things don't. No. Keep pressing towards the mark. If you're going to look back, only look back to make sure that where you're headed right now is the right direction. That's the only purpose of looking back. You know, that you have a good reference point. You know, we're so cavalier, man. We're so sophisticated New Yorkers, you know. It's like when you were a kid and you used to ride your bike without your hands. No hands, man. And that, you look cool. But you know what the problem living in the city? There's a lot of rocks and bumps in the road. And remember when you're a kid riding that bike and you hit a little bump? What would happen? Boy, immediately you grab that wheel, right? Because you're going to be falling into a ditch. And you know, a lot of times spiritually we're on cruise control. Our hands are off the wheel. And I don't care how smooth your road is. Give yourself enough time and that car is going to start veering, right? You better get your hands on the steering wheel and adjust every day to make sure you're plotting the right course. Going the right way. Every day. Amen? I'm preaching to myself. I know you guys are on the straight now. You guys are a great crowd. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. I got to watch what I say up there. You know, even if I mispronounce a word, somebody will tell me about that. Wow, I was like, man, you picked that one up? I thought I slipped that one by you. Man. That's why I keep hydrating myself, because my tongue gets stuck to the roof of my mouth if I don't. Lamentations chapter 3. Make sure you're going on the right course, people. Look at this verse in 40. It says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. You know what that verse tells me? I have to search and try my way. And you know what the product and fruit of me searching and trying my way? I better turn back unto the Lord. You know what that verse tells me? That left to myself, I'm not going the Lord's way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know what? If you were honest this morning, even if you felt like you were walking the right way with God, if you didn't spend any time this week on your knees in prayer, you know where you were going? You were going the wrong way. You were going the, you need to search and try your way every day. And when you do that, that verse tells me in 40, the result of that, you must turn again to the Lord. It's simple, right? This isn't physics. This is basic stuff. You know, I appreciate history. I really do. Last, I don't know how many years, me and Brother Miguel back there, we've been going to Williamsburg. I love history. And I don't want to diminish. You know what? It is historical that this past Tuesday, this country inaugurated its first black American president. And some would argue he's actually the second. Some people say Bill Clinton was the first black American president. But I'm not getting into politics this morning. But you know what? I watched an interview of a, I believe, Tuskegee Airman, who was at the 1937 inauguration of then-President FDR. And this man, he was a cadet in high school, and he actually marched at that inauguration. And here he is 72 years later at the inauguration this past Tuesday. That's history. And this man spoke about being on a train. He was a fighter pilot during World War II. And the train made a stop, and they let on some German POWs. And this man had to give up his seat for a German POW because his skin was black and the German's skin was white. And this German asked this man, he said, why do you fight for a country that treats you that way? And his response was, because it's my country. Wow. You know what? We need more people that no matter what, no matter how they're treated, no matter the circumstances, their purpose is just to do right, no matter what, come what may. That's, I had to take my hat off to a man like, could you imagine? I can't imagine, and you can't imagine, that man standing there watching that president being inaugurated. I can't imagine what that man wants to feel. Because you know what? He lived in a time and he experienced things that we'll never know anything about. And so you know what? It is historical. It is. And there is some honor in that, you know? And but you know what? And Brother Pat alluded to it. It's sad and disturbing to me how many people sincerely believe that this one man that's been elected is actually going to change and right all the ills of our society. He's going to get your money flowing the right way, right? He's going to solve all our social issues, right? And you know what? Even if he could, you know, we still would not be satisfied. You know why I know that? Because there is coming one who is going to reign and rule on this earth, the righteous judge, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know what's going to happen at the end of his almost 1,000 years of ruling righteously on this earth, where any bill that passes through his desk is not going to have any pork that's going to pay for one thing at the expense of another? No, he's going to judge righteously. And you know what's going to happen after this righteous judge at the end of his administration? The enemy is going to be let loose just for a season. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to gather the constituents as the sand of the sea to rise up against this righteous judge. Could you imagine that? So let me tell you something this morning. Even if President Obama could fix the stock market, even if he could assure that your job will be secure for the next 20 years, even if he could pay for your health care, you know what? We would not be satisfied. Let's be real this morning. We have a hope, but it's not in a man. We have a hope that goes beyond this world. You better know some things this morning. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Watch where you put your confidence, brothers and sisters. Listen, Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore this day. Know this, people. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. The Lord, he's God. There's none else. And you don't need any else. Anyone else, rather. Look at Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Put your trust in the right place. Psalms 118. Look it down in verse 8. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You getting it this morning? Listen, we need to remind ourselves this morning that God still is God. That God is still saving souls. That God is still blessing people. That God's mercies are still anew every morning that you live and breathe. That God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. We need to remind ourselves that he still is the great I am. He doth not slumber nor sleep. His hand is not short. He's still God. Amen? That's who we need this morning. We need God. I don't need a new guy in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. I just need God. Amen? I need God. When you woke up this morning, were your sins still removed as far as the east is from the west? Mine were. You know the God that you called out to the day you got saved? He's still the same God that saved those three boys from the fire back in that Old Testament. He's still the same God that delivered Daniel from the mouth of the lions. He's still the same God that parted the Red Sea. He's still the same God that called Lazarus from the tomb. God Almighty. Amen? Woo! That's all I need. He is enough. You know what we need to do? We need to get to know God. You know what my resolution is? 2009. That I might know him better this year than I did last year. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Amen? It's good to know God. You know what's even nicer? He knows me. He knows me. And he still loves me anyway. Woo! What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. You know what? We need some hope. You know you need some hope today? You know why? Because if you don't have any hope, you know what the opposite of hope is? Despair. Desperation. There's a lot of desperate people walking the face of this earth today. You know, this guy, I don't even know his name, this guy with the Ponzi scheme, ripped people off $50 billion. People are already committing suicide over that, right? They have no hope. You need hope this morning. We need hope. But our hope needs to be in God, not in the president. Psalms 42, turn there. Psalms 42. Am I giving you enough time to turn? Please say yes, because my wife will yell at me otherwise when we go home today. She, you know, she looks like a nice little choir girl. She could be very mean when she yells, let me tell you. Yeah, I know. Psalms 42. Look at verse 5. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hope in God. Look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I want to bring you some glad tidings, like the brother said in Acts 13. I want to be it known unto you people this day. I want you to have some hope. Cheer up. He's coming back right on time. He's coming back. Psalm 71 verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Amen. Amen. Psalms 146. Psalms 146. It says there in verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executed judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord loosened the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." Listen, he is our hope. You should be happy because your hope is in him this morning. Amen? Hope in him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. There's blessings in hope. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 reads, "Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. You got some hope this morning? You need it. I need it. I know you got it, but you know what? We're prone to forget it. The enemy saps it out of us sometimes. He takes it from us. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. It says down in verse 20, "And this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." I'm reading in Lamentations 3, starting in verse 21, and I just read verse 22. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Woo! Is that good? Man, if you can't jump up inside, you know, if the new man in you is not jumping up and down, man, something's wrong. I mean, you know what? This stuff is good. It's exciting, you know? It's only by his mercy that I'm even standing here this morning. It's like the brother said, if we got what deserved, man, we'd split hell wide open. Really, we would. He lets me breathe his air. 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both what? Hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Woo! Hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I love this portion of God's word. It says in verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen? That your faith and hope might be in God. You know who's my hope this morning? Jesus Christ is my hope. I'm going to define it a little. See, that's where the world gets off the train. God bless America won't offend anybody. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, now you're talking something different now. Let's time to roll up our sleeves because now you're getting personal. You know, I'm telling you. God bless America. Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door. Don't waste your time. Tell them, Jesus Christ is God. That's it. End the conversation. Go home. You just saved yourself about a half an hour of circle jerk reasoning. I'll be honest with you. And pray for them. But you know what? Don't waste your time. Because they're like those people in Acts. The prophets were preaching every Sabbath, and they did not want to hear it. Don't give them an audience. Just tell them, Jesus Christ is God. Amen. That's it. Have a nice day, sir. They'll walk out the driveway, believe me. Jesus is God. You know what? Let me tell you something. I don't want to be flippant. You know what? It's a blessing that you have the ability to know this morning that Jesus is God. You know that you can only know that because the Spirit of God revealed that truth to you. Do you remember when you did not believe that Jesus was God? You have brothers and sisters that don't believe that, that think you're crazy because of that. It's like the brother said his mother won't even come into this building, right? I don't understand that. Why me, Lord, and not them? You know, it's a blessing to be able to say that Jesus Christ is God this morning and believe it and know it, it's true. And you can't say that by your own power and will. It's only because God's Spirit lives in you and gives you that witness, right? I don't take that lightly. I can say with a sound mind this morning that Jesus Christ, he's my God. And I rejoice in that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm not mad at you this morning. I'm just excited, please. Because I get accused of a lot of things, and that's not true. I'm not a mean guy, believe me. I'm a nice guy. You know, people say you always have a scowl, you don't smile, you're intimidating. I'm really a really softy. I'm an easy guy. Right? You guys know, right? See? I don't bite. What are you laughing at back there? I love you too. You know, some of the sweetest fellowship I've had with some of you guys is just getting together and open up God's Word. I like to eat, you know, have a barbecue. But when you get together and you open up God's Word with a brother and sister, that's sweet, man. You can't do that sometimes with your family. That's sad. It breaks my heart to say that, you know. I have a better time hanging out with my brothers and sisters because I know there's not going to be any repercussions. Nobody's going to get mad because I talked about Jesus, you know. You know, we have love for one another because we have the same Spirit, you know. And if this is all we have, this is all we need. You don't need anybody else. You have him in your heart. You could be on an island by yourself. It's true. But on top of that, he gives us fellowship. And that's a sweet thing, you know? But I still like the food. The food is still good, right? It makes the fellowship sweeter. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, Paul, chapter 1, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. It's a blessing, you know, when pastors away, it's a blessing to see other brothers get up and preach. And it excites me because I know what it goes into preparing to preach. And you know what? It's a blessing when you see somebody get up there and he's just excited about what God gave him, you know, and it excites me, you know what I mean? And you don't understand that. You know, when you spend time with God and he speaks to you something, it could be a simple thing. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's big. You should rejoice over that. You know, some of the most powerful preaching I've ever been under is being with kids that pray and hear them pray. Because it comes from the heart. It's not pretentious. They're not trying to impress or wax eloquent. You don't give you all these D's and thous. You know what I'm saying? It's real. Amen? And that's what God wants us to be, real. You don't have to pray, oh, thee and thou. No, just tell him what it is, plainly. Be plain about it. Amen? Read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews 6, 18. It says here that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. You know what's impossible for God to lie to you? We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is my hope this morning. He's all I have. He's all I need. You know how you need to remind yourself about that hope? Get into His Word. It's simple. His Word will remind you of that hope. Look at Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. I'm doing good this morning. I still got my jacket on. Wow, that's good. Psalms 119. Look at verse 49. We got to bring some things to our remembrance because we're prone to forget. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You know, God's word will cause you to have some hope. Look at Psalms, same chapter, look at verse 81. It says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Same chapter, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Look at Psalms 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. His word gives us hope. Look at Romans chapter 15. That's why God's recorded some things in His Word, that you might have some hope. Romans chapter 15. If you're going to look back and do a little history lesson, do it just to remind yourself that you do have some hope. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, why were they written? They were written for our learning. That why? We, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Hope. You need hope. I need hope. We're moving right along. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, verse 23, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Hope. A hope of the gospel. You know that the world today, you know most people meeting today in Christian circles? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Preaching gives us hope. Preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know that what I'm doing here this morning by many is considered foolishness? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 tells me so. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know what's sad today? Although this is speaking of unsaved people. You know that in most Christian circles, they believe that preaching is foolishness. And you know how I say that today? Because you know what most church services today, you know what the importance is placed on? It's not the preaching of God's word. It's the atmosphere. It's the strike up the band mentality, right? They have, hundreds of thousands of dollars in lighting and sound. It doesn't matter who's playing the drums or the guitar, whether they're saved or not. They're musicians for hire. That's the truth. And you know what? They just want to make sure you get pumped up and you feel good. They could give a flip if you get any of God's word. Most preaching today, you turn on your television. If the guy reads one verse of scripture, you got a lot. There's a lot of poems and jokes and antidotes and opinions. That's why I make no apology this morning. Listen, you didn't come to hear me speak. We're turning to God's word. That's what God blesses and honors, His Word. That's why we're still here 34 years later. First Bible Church. Amen? That was extra. I won't charge you for that. You know what? A lot of Christians today are restless. They can't sit still. They can't be quiet. And you know what that is a result of? Turn to Psalms chapter 16. I mean, it's good to be busy, but we need to rest. Look at Psalm 16. It says in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set, in verse 8, the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. People have been removed from their hope. They're restless. You know that there's rest in hope? There's rest in hope. You know that a lot of Christians today are weak. Look at Psalms 31. Psalms 31. You need some strength, brothers and sisters. Verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Hope in God. You know that many people live a life, they're saved, but they live a life like they're in bondage. Look at Psalms 33. Psalms 33. My God is a God of deliverance. Look at Psalms 33, verse 17. It says, and horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Have you experienced God's mercy this week? Then you have some hope. Hope in him. He is our hope. You know, a lot of Christians walk around and they're very sad. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Are you sad here this morning? You got any gladness in your heart? Proverbs 10. Look at verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be what? Gladness. It should be gladness. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You know that it pleases God when we put our hope in Him. You want to please your Heavenly Father this morning? Have some hope. Have some hope in Him. Look at Psalms 147:11. I'm not giving you my opinion this morning. I'm giving you what God's Word says. Psalms 147. How do I know that pleases Him? Because this verse tells me so. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that what? Fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Amen? Hope in his mercy. You know that we can rejoice in hope. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Did you do any rejoicing this week in Him? Did you come before His presence with singing and thanksgiving? Rejoice in Him because He is our hope. You know, it says in Romans 8:24, we are saved by hope. Hope. I don't mean to be redundant, but I want you to get the point this morning. It says in Ephesians chapter 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, hope is something that you kind of need to put on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. You don't get it by osmosis. 1 Peter chapter 1. says in 1 Peter chapter 1, are we there? Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and what? Hope to the end, for the grace that is brought is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on, what? The breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, what? The hope of salvation. Amen. We need to put it on, folks. You know that I have a lively hope this morning? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Only God can take death, and from death have life spring forth. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto what? A lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I have a lively hope this morning. Look at 1 John chapter 3. You want to keep yourself clean before God? Look at 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold, in verse 1, 1 John chapter 3, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You want to keep yourself clean before God? Walk in hope. Amen? Have some hope. Have some hope. Keeps you clean. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Hope if I get there. Titus chapter 2. It says from verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should what? Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a blessed hope this morning. Amen? And listen, my hope is not that my 401k plan will turn around. You know, it's good to have a job. But you know what? We need to have a hope that transcends this life. You know what it says? Let's turn to you don't have to turn. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15:19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all your hope is here, if you got all your eggs in the basket down here, you know what you're going to live? A miserable life. You're going to be miserable, believe me. Because you know what? After maybe the second and third car payment, the old car, the new car nonsense, it wears off, doesn't it? You know, the new shoes after the first scuff, it doesn't matter. Suit, you name it, house, it doesn't sustain you. It's temporary, isn't it? We need a hope beyond this world. Look at Colossians. We need to have a hope that's laid up. Amen? Colossians 1:5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let me ask you a question, brother and sister. Is it in you? And I'm not talking about milk. Is it in you? Do you have hope this morning? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. 5 minutes and we're done. This is going to be a miracle. I'm actually going to complete a message. It's amazing. Colossians chapter 1. Is it in you, brothers and sisters, this morning? Be it known this day. It says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is it in you, brothers and sisters? Christ, The hope of glory. It better be there. And listen, if it is in you, you know what you need to do? You need to share it with somebody. Oh, it feels good to share that hope with somebody, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at it. You know, I believe that a lot of times we don't have opportunities to witness for the Lord. You know why? Because people don't see that hope in us. They don't see the gladness, the joy, the rest, the strength. They don't see it. Because this verse tells me, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of what? The hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know what? If people see that hope in you, you know what God's going to do? He's going to send them your way, and they're going to ask you, why? What do you got? What's up with you? Why are you different? And you know what? If we lack opportunity, you know why it is? We need to be honest. Because we're walking around like miserable people that have no hope. We're complaining about the things that the world's complaining about. It shouldn't be that way. Is it in you? It shouldn't be that way. You know what? Can I tell you something this morning? The world has no hope to give you. It has no hope to give you. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, look at this. First, it says in verse 11, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and I devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Look at the response in verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. You know that the world, God has given us, this is a great country. I'm glad I was born on this side of the world and not on the other side of the world. But you know what? God has been merciful to this country, and he's been long-suffering, and he's put out a call for us to turn back many a time. And you know what we're telling them? There's no hope. So men are doing everything under the sun in the evil imaginations of their own heart. It doesn't matter who you elect. You know why? Because hearts are still corrupt. You can change the laws, but you know what? Changing the law doesn't change the heart of a man. That's the just God's honest truth. You know, I think about that man that rode on that train. You know what? He doesn't have to give up his seat today. But you know what? You can be sure there's still people living today that still have that heart sentiment against that man. I live in the real world. You know, the changing of a law doesn't change a man's heart. Only God can turn the heart of a king. And there's no hope in the world. I don't care how many trillions of dollars they pump into this economy. You know why? Because what is the root of all evil? The love of money. And those men, as soon as they get that money, you know what they're going to do? You really think they're going to put it back into the economy because they're worrying about your job? Come on, wake up this morning. Where did the first $350 billion go? You know what Washington will tell you? We don't know. The banking system was supposed to do certain things with it. You know what they did with it? They kept it. Be real this morning. Have some hope. Have hope in God, not the world. Be like the children of Issachar to know the times that we're living in. Be sober-minded. Put it on. You need to put it on. Your eyes wide open. Don't be a fool. I'm speaking to me, by the way. Listen, if you're going to look back at all, look back to just make sure that you're going the right way. You know, there was a time that we were without hope. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And I promise you, I'm winding down. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you for your kind attention to this point. There was a time in my life when I didn't have hope. It says there, verse 11 in chapter 2 of Ephesians, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ ye, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Look at Titus chapter 3. Look where we used to be. Titus chapter 3. It says for verse 3, Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope. Listen, you know what? We need to think on some positive things. We need to remind ourselves. We need to turn the television off. Turn down the music. You know, we're not a legalistic church. We don't tell you what you should and shouldn't do, where you should and shouldn't go. You know, but you know what? If you were honest before God, you should inwardly be a legalistic Christian. Because God made your ears, he made your eyes, and he has a right to tell you what you should see and what you should listen to. Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 4, yeah. Listen, we need to fill ourselves with some stuff, people. Look, go back to, I'm sorry. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. See, I told you I was a schizophrenic. Philippians 3:18 says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Why? Who mind earthly things. What an indictment that is. You know what, though? We fit that indictment. You know why? Because we allow too many earthly things into our lives, and we start minding them, and we start being careful of those things. And you know what? That's a harsh rebuke. Look what it says there. Many walk of whom I've told you and now tell you even weeping. They are the enemies. You know what God looks at that those things as? You're an enemy. When you desire the things of this earth over him, you're walking like an enemy of God. That's what the word says. You're walking like an enemy. You know? Look at verse 21 in that same chapter. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Woo! You know what? Let me tell you something this morning. We are vile. There's a part of us that is just vile. You know who you can't trust this morning? You can't trust you. That's your biggest problem this morning. You. I'm being honest with you this morning. I'm my biggest enemy this morning. That's like what the brother said last week. Get in the bathroom. Look in the mirror. Preach a message to yourself. Get right with God. Examine yourself daily. Because you are your biggest foe. Not your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your brother, your sister, your neighbor. Not your coworker. Not that really difficult supervisor at work. Your biggest problem is you. I'm being honest with you this morning. You know why? Because we're vile. There's a part of us that's still vile. It'll be redeemed one day, but right now, you got to do battle with it. So, I want you to do me a favor here. Look at here in verse Philippians chapter 4. It says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what we need to do. We need to meditate upon some things. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You know why? Then you can truly live the victory of Psalms 94:19, which says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Let me ask you a question. When the music stops playing, when the party's over and it's just you and your God and your thoughts, do your thoughts comfort your soul? Are you thinking on those good things? That's what we need to do. Filled up with the Word of God so that there's no room for the enemy to come in and snatch your hope and your joy and your peace and your gladness. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart. Why? So you might not sin against him. Amen? It's real simple. But you know what? It'll be the hardest thing, I guarantee you, your purpose to do every day of your life is to read God's word, to pray, to make an appointment with Him. Not just every day, every day. I guarantee you, if every day from now till next Sunday, you give God some time, you turn off that television program, you spend time, let His word speak to you, pray, you do that 7 days in a row, I guarantee you won't be the same. You won't be the same. You can't be. His word promises that. Amen? It's not enough to sit here Sunday morning and hear me speak, hear pastors speak. He's a great speaker. You're getting a second-hand meal. You need to get that fresh-cooked meal right for you. Amen? Listen, this is my New Year's resolution, Colossians chapter 1, and this is the last portion of Scripture, I promise. Colossians chapter 1. I read this the other day and I said, wow, I got a purpose to do this. Colossians 1. Down in verse 9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know what Paul's prayer was here? And I pray that I could do this. I want to pray more. Pray without ceasing in verse 9. I want to be filled with the knowledge of His will, that I might walk worthy of the Lord, to be more pleasing to Him, to be more fruitful, to know God better, to be stronger in faith, to be more patient, long-suffering, joyful, to be more thankful to my Heavenly Father. That's my resolution for 2009. I challenge you. Resolve some things. 2008 is a part of our history. Don't go back there unless there's something you're going to look at that's going to help you walk worthy in 2009. If not, leave it back there. Redeem the time forward, because the days are evil. Redeem the time. This first month of this new year is almost gone. You see how quick time goes? You know? Let's redeem the time that God has given us. Let's live for Him from today forward. Forget about what messed up things you did yesterday. You have today. Every morning He gives you a fresh set of His mercies. Let's not presume upon them. You know? Let's not be presumptuous and sin against Him. Amen? I hope it was a blessing and encouragement to you. I thank the Lord for your kind attention, and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you, Lord Father, for your grace and your mercy and the hope that we have laid up for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just pray, Lord Father, that somehow, some way, you might just take the words that were spoken here today and bless it to people's hearts, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, if I spoke presumptuously or in error, Lord, in the wrong heart attitude, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for the awesome privilege it is to speak in the name of Jesus, Lord, that name which is above every name. Bless my brothers and sisters as they go home this afternoon, Lord. Help us, Lord, every day to rest in your hope, to be mindful of who you are, Father. Help us this week, Lord, to just spend more time with thee at your feet, Lord. Help us to turn off what needs to be turned off, Lord. Help us to just sing praises unto you, Lord Father, because thou and thou alone art worthy, Lord. We just pray, Lord Father, that somehow you might just use this, Father, for your glory and for your honor, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the time we have this morning just to meet in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord. And Father, if there was anyone sitting here in this congregation that this is all foreign to, that they don't have any hope, Lord, that they don't know who Jesus is, Lord Father, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you might speak to that person's heart even now, Lord, that the eyes of their understanding might be open, Lord. And Father, if there's any question that they might have, Lord, then they might just ask it freely, Lord, Father. I just praise you and thank you, Father, for the blessed hope we have in Jesus. And I ask it all in His most precious name. Amen.